I'm going to take 3 minutes. I'm going to time myself. So I wanted to share something. Wasn't sure how many of you received the church bulletins. And I was laughing during praise and worship, kind of giggling because I think I shouted out too loud or whatever, and I lost some part of my voice. But I thought, Lord, I'll lose my voice any day of the week just to praise you and to worship you. You know, I'll play as hard and loud, and I think I was getting a little too loud. Forgive me. I was just in it. So I'm sorry if I was playing too loud. And I remember there was a lady who would always come to church. I mean, she didn't complain about the music. She would just come with cotton in her ears. I loved her heart because she knew where she needed to be in God's house, and she praised the Lord anyway. And so, Sister Ruth, I love her. But I wanted to just to share this, and again, like I said, let me set up a timer here. It's going to take 3 minutes, and ready you go. The church bulletin, we asked the church to do something in the month of September. We asked the church to do something in unity. That's why it says an individual find another individual, a couple find another couple, a family find another family, and pick a specific day to fast and pray for the state of our nation. We all know, because if you follow the news, there's a lot of junk going on, a lot of stuff going on in our society and our nation today. Also with the fact that there's elections in less than 2 months away. And so, but we felt like a time for fasting and praying. Now, Jesus said this because his disciples were not allowed to cast out a demon out of this young man. And they said, well, why couldn't we? And Jesus says, these come out but by fasting and prayer. Kind of just gives us an inclination that in difficult, dire moments or dire times of life, we need to fast and pray. And so I want to encourage you, don't wait to fast and pray when the pastor tells you. Allow the Spirit to lead you, you know, when to fast and pray. But we've asked the church to fast and pray with us for in the month of September. Pick one day. If you find another couple, pick a certain day and fast and pray for those things. You can add other things to that prayer. Pray for children, pray for marriages, pray for jobs, pray to be a witness and evangelistic. And so we are asking the church to do this in unity. I'm just so thankful that the Lord has led us this year. I mean, you know, I know a lot of people talk a bunch of stuff about 2020, but the Lord leading us in our vision for this year, his plan, our purpose, the fact that we're reading the Bible through together. And if you're not, please see one of the ushers. There should be some forms back there. See me. We'll let you know. I believe we're in week 37, I think, starting Monday. And so we just want to just express this to you to ask that you fast and pray with us. And I told the Lord, is there a specific day, Lord? And I was waiting, and just, there's no specific day that he gave us. Just in the whole month of September, you want to get together with a bunch of people and different people and pick different days, that's fine. But I want to encourage you with this, because when we look to Scripture, when they talked about fasting, it was food. Fast a meal, fast two meals, fast the whole day, whatever the Lord leads you to. But do this together within the church, as the body of believers in unity. And so I wanted to just express that and explain that. So, hey, I did that in 2 minutes and 43 seconds. Shannon's proud of me. My wife would be proud of me. So let's go to John chapter 14, verses 16 through 18. That's actually slide one, Joe. We'll go ahead and put that up. But those of you that want to break out your phones or your Bibles, John chapter 14, verses 16 through 18 in the King James Version, it says this, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Notice it's in bold. Underline that if you want to in your Bibles. It's not illegal. You could do that. That he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not. Neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. This is Jesus speaking. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Father, we thank you for your word today. Pray, Father, that you'll speak to us. Lord, continue to speak to us. We thank you for that revelation of God's truth for our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. For this day, because tomorrow it might be a new word. So I pray that you'll be seeking for a new word and a nugget of truth tomorrow. I want to mention about this word comforter. The Greek word is parakletos. Parakletos. I don't know. I don't have a Greek accent. So, but anyway, it means called to one's side, a helper, an intercessor, a consoler. And Jesus also says, he gives us a time frame about this comforter that's coming. He's telling the disciples there, but when we read it today, rest assured he's speaking to us. It's God's living word, and we can receive it to us today. So it says that he, Holy Spirit, again, this is Jesus talking, may abide with you forever. I love this. There's no expiration date on the Holy Spirit. I mean, it's like that coupon that you could use over and over and over, and next year it's not going to expire. This Holy Spirit is our consoler. This Holy Spirit is our helper, one that God has been given to us to be by our side. Thus, the theme of this month, you are not alone. Say that with me. You are not alone. Every believer in Jesus Christ, you are not alone. You may feel like it, but don't go by feelings. It may look like it. Don't go by what you see. Understand and know that Jesus, what Jesus said, and that his word said that he was going to give us a comforter. Notice the end of verse 18. I will not leave you, what? Comfortless. Now, I'm not sure what version you're probably reading on your phone or in your Bible, but there are some versions that actually say, I will not leave you as an orphan. We're going to get to that here in a little bit. But comfortless is what Jesus says. I will not leave you comfortless. So we know that Jesus gives us a time frame of the presence of the Holy Spirit with us. He will be with us forever. Then Jesus says, you know him. He dwells with you. I started to think, it kind of brings me back when my mom was trying to tell me about this cousin so-and-so or uncle so-and-so, and I could not picture, no face could come to mind. No, I don't know. My mom would say, you know him, and I'm thinking, no, I don't. You know, oh, you remember, you know him, I do. But this is what Jesus was saying, you know him, he dwells with you. Now, understand and know this, the disciples really didn't get it. Because if you read on, even in verse 7, we're going to get to that in a little bit also. They were still dumbfounded. They really didn't understand. Say, what? Can you explain that? That's kind of like us today, right? I mean, we get like that. We could see something, hear something, we're like, huh? I mean, in my Bible, you'll find a couple of question marks that I put down. I just write there, and one day the Lord will give me a revelation or help me understand it better. But Jesus says, you know him, he dwells with you. Holy Spirit presided among them. They didn't even see it, just like this morning. Or now it's in the afternoon. Holy Spirit's here. You can leave this building today and be like, I guess it was a good service, but it was only because you only got one or two goosebumps. You can't go by feeling. You can't go by what you see. That's why if you get too distracted, like me, close your eyes. God, speak to me. I don't know what you're saying. And then if a picture, an image, a video clip of something that happened in the past, understand that's what the Spirit of God is trying to help you see or bring back to your remembrance. You see, we can be too consumed with life, with the dinner or the roast or someone's taking you out for steak later on. We can get so consumed with life in our own agenda that we are in the flesh. Now, don't get angry with me, but some of you are in the flesh. I don't know who you are. I'm praying that it's none of you, but you're in the flesh because you're not thinking what, you're not perceiving what God wants you to see because your mind is somewhere else. I've been there. I've been at some place where my body was there, but my mind was somewhere else. Can I hear an amen? Amen? I mean, I'm not sure how many of you love to go to the doctor or the dentist and then just sit in the office and then wait till they call you in. But your mind could be on so many other things. Your body's there, but your mind is not there. And it's so true that can happen. We can be blinded by what we're seeing as more important. There's nothing more important than being in God's house. I'm going to say that again. There is nothing more important than being in God's house than listening to the Holy Spirit, being in his being in God's presence. There's nothing more important. So Jesus says, he shall be in you. Again, you are not alone. So the word comfortless, that word comfortless in the Greek is orphanos. Orphanos. What does that sound like? Orphan. That's why some of you in some of your different translations where it says comfortless, it says orphans. Greek word is orphanos. The Thayer definition for that word is bereft. Bereft. Now, I didn't know what that word meant. So if you feel like, oh, I don't know what that means, join the club. I didn't know what that meant, so I had to look it up. Bereft means deprived of or lacking. Sadly alone. Bereft of a father, parent, bereft of a teacher, bereft of a guide, bereft of a guardian. This is what Jesus says. I am not going to leave you alone. I am not going to leave you with the Father's words. I am not going to leave you alone without a teacher, without a guide, without a consoler, without a guardian. As long as Jesus is alive and well, Holy Spirit will always be what? With me. Because Jesus said so. Not because I feel it. But because Jesus said so, he will not leave us bereft, 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 deprived, robbed of, deprived of a possession, deprived of lacking something, of lacking something that is needed. You see, the blessing that comes from a life in the Spirit should never be taken for granted. Our superintendent of the Assemblies of God, Doug Clay, says this: the blessing of the Holy Spirit comes with a qualifying condition. We find in verse 15. Let's go to John 14, 15. And this was something that I felt led to share in Sunday school. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. The important thing is not keeping his commandments. The important thing is if you love me. Because if you love me, then you'll follow, you'll obey, you'll lead, you'll go where he sends. You will do what he tells you to do. You will be an example as he led by an example. Because you love him. Our superintendent also says, let's revisit the person of Holy Spirit and experience him in a fresh way. Listen, you might need a fresh pouring of the Holy Spirit. You might think back from the day that you were baptized in the Holy Spirit, filled, overflowing with the Holy Spirit. You were a young kid, or it was early in your years, or maybe it was 10 years ago, and you really haven't prayed like that in a while. Sit alone, turn everything off in your brain if you can. Ladies, turn everything off if you can. Men are from Mars, women are from Venus, you've heard of that. Men are like waffles, women are like spaghetti. Anyway, another day, another time. But try to turn everything off and sit still. Be still and know that I am God. And say, Father, fill me. Oh, Father, I just need more of you. We had an evangelist long time ago, and he said, when you go in, I always remember this, when you go to a shoe store, you don't go to the shoe store just to look for the sole of a shoe. You don't just look for the tongue of the shoe. Tongue, I get it. Tongue of the shoe. You look for the whole shoe. And ever since then, I always say, God, I just want more of you. I don't care what it is. I just want more of all that you have for me today. I just want whatever you have for me. That's what I want. I'm not going to nitpick. See, some of you, you're afraid of to ask God all of that because he's going to ask you to move to the side. He's going to ask you to take a step of faith. He's going to ask you to sacrifice from things. But you know what? Whatever he asks us to do, it's better where I'm at right now. That's where I want to be. So if you love me, keep my commandments. So when we talk about the Spirit of God, we are not talking about a force of electricity. Yes, Holy Spirit is spirit. It's in his name. Holy Spirit is powerful. We find that in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. If you want to go there, we'll go there next. Acts chapter 1, 8. Holy Spirit is powerful. Holy Spirit is a person. He is personal. He is intimate. He is encouraging. He is correcting. Some of you don't like that, but we all need it. And he is, like Shannon mentioned last week, a personal tutor who leads us in truth. Not my truth, not your truth, God's truth. Listen, you probably can come up with a way to get from point A to point B, and it'll be different from mine. But there's a way that God has to get from point A, where we're at, to point B, where he wants us to be, and it's different than what you have and what I have. That's why we got to listen to say, okay, God, which way you want me to go? And that's the way that I'm going to go. So Holy Spirit is our personal tutor leading us in truth. Let's go to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It says, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Can I encourage you to memorize that? Can I encourage you to cherish that? Because Jesus tells us the purpose, one of the many reasons or the purpose for the Holy Spirit, so that we can be bold witnesses for Christ. Now, that's not just bold witnesses to just speak. That's bold witness to act, to live out, to do, to obey, to respond. It's not just, God wants me to be a bold, Corner Street preacher. If that's what he's calling you to do, yes. But he also wants you to be bold in your faith at work, at home, and wherever you go. So that the people in your circle of influence will be impacted by the Spirit of God that dwells within you. So Holy Spirit is intended to help us to discover, and this is what we're praying, that after this month, as we discuss on Holy Spirit, I encourage you, if you can't come Sunday night, tune in online Sunday night. We're going to go over some more scriptures about Holy Spirit, some devotions and scriptures about Holy Spirit. So tune in if you can't show up. We'd love to have you here, but if you can't, we're always online. And so Holy Spirit is intended to help us discover and to be reminded of the beauty, power, the truth of who he is, how he works, and why we are to be attentive to his presence every day. Every day to be attentive to what he's saying. Lord, I want that kind of attention. I want those ears that hear what you're saying. So today I'm going to try in the next few minutes talking about slide 2, Holy Spirit enriches our lives with love. This is what Holy Spirit does. He enriches our lives with love. Again, not just your love, my love. Some of your love was whack before Christ. When I say whack, messed up. It was selfish kind of love. You might have done some good things and good deeds and cut, old lady Jenkins, yard several times. But the thing is that you needed to know and have your mind renewed with God's truth about what real love is. Slide 3. By this is real love, that God sent a Savior. This is a love that God wants to save mankind from the wrath to come. This is love, that the gospel, which we shouldn't be ashamed of, as Romans chapter 1 verse 16 says, for it is the power unto salvation. By this, we even find in John chapter 13 verses 34, Jesus talks about having this love. And then in verse 35, Jesus says, by this, by what? By this love will people know that you are my disciples. When we think about the book of Acts, did you really know the title of that book? I've said this before. The title of that book is The Acts of the Apostles. The Acts of the Apostles, because of Holy Spirit that was dwelling within them and overflowing through them. That everybody that saw them or came in contact with these disciples and these followers of Jesus Christ, they knew that whose disciples they were. They weren't Roman disciples. They were disciples of Jesus Christ. So by this will people know that we are his disciples. By God's love, people will know that you and I are his disciples. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, talks about this love. And the fact that without this kind of love, man, we're just making a bunch of noise. In verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 13, it says in the New King James Version, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Clang, clang, clang. That's all you're saying. Clang, clang. That's all you're doing without this kind of love, God's kind of love. Verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and to understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not. I mean, this right here sounds like someone in ministry. We were just talking about this a little while ago in Sunday school. You can be doing, but if you don't have the love of Christ, and if you don't have Christ as the center, as the means of why you're doing all the doing this and doing that, all it is just a waste of time. All of it, all it is, it profits you nothing. Anybody ever buy something at a store and you take it home and the box is there, but the content, it's empty? You just bought an empty box, you know? That it profits you nothing. Verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me nothing. Now, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 31, Paul is stating and he is showing and exposing, he reveals that there's all these different gifts within the body of Christ. He talks about the different ministries, the different gifts, the different functions, the different responsibilities of every believer in Jesus Christ in this church. Listen, if you're not involved in a function, if you're not involved in a ministry, if you're not using the gifts that God has given you, you are missing out. You're not profiting what God wants you to profit in. He wants to use you. And this is another thing that Brian, he don't have to. Shannon even mentioned this. The Lord doesn't even need us, but he desires. He desires. I'm not sure about you, but that makes me happy. He desires to use me. He's not kicking me to the curb. Scram, beat it, kid. He's not doing that to me. He wants me to be involved in these ministries or gifts or functions of the body of Christ so that we can remain in unity. That was what towards the end of or the whole chapter, verse 12, was all about. Then he talks about a more earnest, seeking a more earnest gift. And what is that? Love. All of chapter 13, he's talking about not your love, not my love, God's love. This is the one that we ought to be seeking and earnestly receiving and walking in. Slide, the next slide. Holy Spirit enriches our lives with power. I mentioned Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Listen, I can do none of this on my own power. It is by the Holy Spirit of God that reveals to me God's truth, that gives me the words to type up and say, that is even leading me to say whatever he's wanting me to say. It's all because of the Spirit. It's not by my flesh, it's not by my strength, nor by my power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. If you have yet to receive the Spirit since you have believed, choose to continue seeking, asking, knocking. God, I want all that you have for me. God, I'm open. God, I'm here. You know, a lot of times people think the Holy Spirit is just scary. Scary. I don't want any part of that. That's just some weird. Look, I have no idea what you experienced when you were a kid or your last church or whatever. But here we find in Scripture that Holy Spirit is not scary and one to avoid or one to ignore. Holy Spirit, Jesus even said, it's expedient, it is important, it is vital that I got to go so that I can send Holy Spirit to you. And I'm not sure how much more evidence you need that it is important that you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That's what happens when you become a believer in Jesus Christ. That's the one who knocks you upside the head when you do something or say something wrong. That's Holy Spirit. He dwells within you. But now there's a baptism of the Holy Spirit we find in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that Jesus speaks of that helps us to be bold in our witness. And again, that's not just what you say. That's how you live. Because there is a love. Romans chapter 5, verse 5 says that there is a love that God has poured in your heart. Can I just say this? And this is just, quit being stingy with the love that God has poured in your heart. It has been poured in your heart by the Holy Spirit for a reason, for a purpose. So that we can live by God's love and walk out with God's love. You get me? That we can live by his love and we can walk out, flow out, demonstrate his love to those who need to see it. There are some people you work with that they have a wrong view of what real love is. And they might just push your buttons right. Just pray a little harder, a little longer. God, help me to deal with so-and-so. God, help so-and-so to see you in me. And just ask the Lord, Lord, help me. You can't do it on your own. And so, slide 5, I want to show this because it enriches our lives. When we look at the word enrich, we find enhance, added to, upgrade, intensify, boost, refine, reinforce, elevate, deepen, polish, improve. This is what the Holy Spirit does with us or in us. He boosts us. I mean, he just encourages us. I'm not sure if he does to you, but he does for me. Next slide. Holy Spirit enriches our lives with direction. Anybody ever been lost before? Now, I'm not saying lost like you're driving a car and you're going around the circle, or I've seen that sign four times already. You know, not that kind of lost. That's locational kind of thing, driving. I was going to say a joke, but no, I'm not going to. Thank you, Holy Spirit. All right, so, but you have no direction. Listen, I've been praying and asking the Lord, Lord, do you want me to do this? Do you want me to pursue that? If you want me to, Lord, then show me. Get my attention, show me. And I don't want it to be to where God has thrown a brick, a Bible, five people, a train to go by to get my attention. I don't want to get there. How many of you are in the same, you know, situation? You don't want to get there. You would like for the Holy Spirit to just speak to you once or twice at the most, and you get it. There are people going to church for years now and still haven't gotten it. That is dangerous. To me, that is downright scary. To be going to church for years and still going through the motions. I mean, that happens. But I'm praying, my prayer is that all of us in this room, all of you that are watching online, that you'll hear what the Spirit is saying and that you'll respond. Because the Holy Spirit enriches our lives with God's love, with God's power, and with direction so that we can understand as to the what life we're supposed to live. As to the why we are to live this way. Some of you adults act like kids. But why? God, why do I got to do that? Why do I got to give in? Why do I got to keep my mouth? Because you have to. Son, daughter, because you have to. Holy Spirit enriches our lives so that we can have an understanding of where our life is headed. And this is not just, like I said, you're lost in Jacksonville somewhere. No, but you're just going around. You're just doing the same thing. You're just in life. You're just doing the same thing. And lastly, slide 7. This is why I'm so excited that God gave us this vision for this year. Man, God knew what 2020 was gonna hold for us. God knew it. None of this came by, oops, I didn't know that. No. I'm so thankful that God leads his people. And I believe that this ought to be for the rest of our lives. It is his plan, always will be, always should be, and it is our purpose to follow his plan. John chapter 14, verse 7. This was really interesting, and I'm going to try to close and wrap it up here. John 14, verse 7. Because Jesus uses this word in John 14, verses 16 through 18. He uses this word, know. In verse 7, it says, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. And again, in that place, it went right over the disciples' heads. 7:47, went right over their heads. No, now it's 12:24, but 12:27. But it went right over their heads. They didn't understand that. And Jesus had to explain to them, you've heard the Father because you've heard what I've said. You've seen the Father because you've seen what I am doing. And that word know in the Greek, it's phonetically spelled out so that you know how to say it. G-H-I-N-O-C-E-K-O, ginosko. And I said that word, it sounds really cool, ginosko. This sounds cool coming out of your tongue, ginosko. And I kept saying that, ginosko. And I thought, that sounds like a Spanish word, conosco. I know. But this Greek word, ginosko, means to know absolutely, intimately, surely, to be sure and fully understand. It's been used in a variety of applications in Scripture, this word know, but to be sure and understand. This is what the Holy Spirit does for us. He helps us to intimately know the Father. He helps us to intimately know the Father's plans and the Father's truth that we would be able, you and I would be able to understand. And I don't care how many degrees you have. I have the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. God can reveal to you what he's revealing to me in his word. And the cool thing, it'll be on your level, it'll be on my level, or it'll be the same thing, but God will reveal his truth to his people. Those that are listening, those that are attentive, those that are looking, those that have been knocking, those that have been asking God, God, fill me. God, tell me what to do. God, my life is yours. Take my hands, Lord. Take my feet. Lord, take my mouth, Lord, and speak through me. Whatever you could do, Lord, Lord, use me. This is what Holy Spirit does. So I thought about that. The Spanish word conozco means, which means to know. Taken from the Latin word C-O-G-N-O-S-C-O, conosco, conosco. Con meaning with, gnosco meaning know. And I thought, oh, that's, you know, the opposite of agnostic. Without knowledge, choosing not to have that knowledge, choosing not to have that belief. I thought it was really interesting, Lord, how you're showing us this. That in John chapter 16, Jesus says this, howbeit when he, Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, he comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father has are mine, therefore said I, that he, Holy Spirit, shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. If you don't want what the Holy Spirit has or is trying to tell you, you don't want to hear or you don't want to receive what Jesus wants to give you. I thought, oh, that was deep. If I ignore the Holy Spirit, if I hinder the Holy Spirit, if I go, la, 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 I don't want to hear it to the Holy Spirit, I am saying and I am responding, Jesus, I don't want what you have for me today. And this is Jesus, what Jesus is saying. Holy Spirit will give us, transfer to us, reveal to us what the Father wants to give us. See, Holy Spirit will reveal God's truth to those that are listening because he wants us to know his truth. In closing, Holy Spirit is not to be feared but revered, sought after and obeyed. Not to hinder or neglect, but to follow and communicate with. This is where the Holy Spirit, sometimes I do not know how to pray for certain things, certain people, certain situations, and I just allow the Spirit to just lead, and I begin to pray in the Spirit. If you have not prayed in the Spirit, it's been years. You need to take a sick day and just go off somewhere. Tuesday through Thursday, the church, is someone's here in the mornings, you're always welcome to come. If you want to come here at 6 a.m., I'll be here at 6 a.m. to open the door for you. I'll even pray with you or be in here while you're praying if you want to. But there is a place that you can go. So don't have an excuse, I got nowhere to go. You can come to church. You can sit in the parking lot if nobody's here. And just sit quietly and just listen for God to speak. Say, God, I want more of you. And then just have a powwow with God. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18 through 20, I close. Seriously. It says, dear children, let us not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth. So we will be confident when we stand before God. Even if we feel guilty, greater is God than our feelings, and he knows everything. During this time, we're going to play an altar call. And I know it's 12:30, and some of you are probably thinking, look, just the restaurant will be there. The food will be there. This is more vital. So if you need to, close your eyes. Get your attention on what God is saying. The Father is speaking to us. Let us have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. Father, I thank you for your word. And I pray, Almighty God, Lord, that your word revealed to us by your Holy Spirit, we would obey, we would receive it, Lord. I pray, Father God, that you would help us, Lord, to understand and to receive more of what you have for us today. Lord, the nuggets of truth that we can apply to our lives so that we can live by your love and live out with your love so that the world will see your love and know that we are your disciples, that they will come to know that Jesus, as Jesus saved us, Jesus will save them as well. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.